This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
And yes, you're back. It's Friday afternoon, the 30th of May, and it is 5 o'clock, and this is a Friday Rave. I'm riding solo today on Radical Radio 3CR. Jake's feeling a little bit under the weather, and I made a really nerdy joke earlier to say that today I'm going to be autonomous and that he'll be my loyal wingman. So that's really just a defence nerd research joke, but I won't subject you to any more of my terrible sense of humour. But, of course, you are tuned to Radical Radio 3CR on 855 kilohertz, or you might be listening at all the W's at 3cr.org.au or listening back via your favourite podcast client or 3CR Digital, or, as always, in your AW139 chopper in the sky. And we haven't updated all of our podcasts, but we will get to it. We will get to it. Big ups to James and In Your Face. And it's just looking around the studio now, and it's really good to see all of the Radiothon posters. So, of course, June starts tomorrow. And the Radiothon target is 270,000 to keep 3CR, the Radical Radio Station, Community Radio on the air for another year. So definitely stick your hands in your pockets. You can call in to the station at 94198377 to pledge or make a donation. You can also jump online at 3cr.org.au and choose. So, or of course, come down to the studios at down to the station at 21 Smith Street. If you've not been here before, it's definitely worth coming and having a chat and getting to know everybody. It's really a great place to be, and it relies all on community to keep it funded, because this is your station and it's your voice. So get ready for Radiothon. There's going to be some good Radiothon programs coming up, including ours, but we'll have more details about that a bit later. But as I said, I'm Mercedes. I am here, and I'm going to try and keep you occupied for the next half an hour, and trying to keep it a little bit coherent. I've been a little bit unwell earlier this week myself, and quite a bit of brain fog. But thank goodness we've, you know, come back feeling all right and ready to go. So I guess this week there's a few things that I want to cover today, and I guess there is kind of hopefully going to be some threads. But I want to start with Al Jazeera's investigation wing, Sanad, released a video or report, rather, on an investigation that they've done about the use of commercial drones in Gaza and the amount of video footage that they're seeing commercial drones used by the IOF for bringing explosives, for surveillance uses. And the big thing about this investigation was that these drones have been specifically manufactured for commercial use in agriculture, or so they say. But of course, the dual use lens on which so much military technology, or technology that is used by militaries and especially by the IOF, the dual use lens is a thing that they put over it so that it can be used for military, it can be repurposed for military, or indeed it actually always is designed for the military, but we just have to say that it's dual use for several purposes, because it might be sold commercially. It also might be that the people who are working on the project might not agree that they want to be working on a project that's directly related to killing people. So it's easier; it's an easier sell to the researchers and the scientists who are going to be working on the project, and sort of allows a distinct lack of accountability. But so that Sanad investigation has lots of video footage about the use of these commercial drones. And some of you might remember a couple of months ago in Declassified Australia, Kelly Tranter released a 90-page freedom of information about the exports from Australia to Israel from October 2023 to, I think, about the 25th of March from memory. And so I guess where I'm going with this is that when we think about these commercial drones that are developed and designed for agriculture and then are now being used to drop bombs, and indeed there's one that is used as a kamikaze drone to take out communications towers, to black out all communications in Gaza. Looking through that export FOI, now there's 90 pages of it, but we sort of took on to try and go through and to look at some of the main or things that are on there, and it's very vague. I mean, these export permits, as we've spoken about on the show before, they are pretty vague because, you know, you tick a box, right, you report what the thing is. And some of the things that are on there that, of course, are dual use or considered dual use are specifically microchips and semiconductors and navigational chips for drones. And so I just want to speak to some of the things on that list and I guess how, in light of knowing we, and we know it, but now, you know, I guess that with additional proof that these commercially manufactured equipment are weapons, what sort of technologies are being exported from Australia that I think the burden of proof is to prove that they are not being used to bomb people in Gaza and for or to surveil people. So one of the exports on that list is what's called an MAXL CL3015. And so the FOI documents indicate that there are about 48 of these, what they're called an accelerometer. And so what they're used in unmanned aerial vehicles, which is a UAV, for navigation, marine, airborne, precision weapons. And what it does, it's a guidance system, basically, and they're used in drones. And so this MAXXL CL3015 is designed and manufactured by a company called Physical Logic Limited. And so they're a research and development and manufacturing facility, an Israeli company located in at Petah Tikva, which seems to be the Israeli military hub. There are quite a lot of companies that are at that place, as they call it. And so it's privately funded through a Swiss holding company. And that is in Switzerland, is where its company headquarters are located. But as an Israeli company, these little chips, and they're about 17 mil by 17 mil, so they're quite small. There's been 48 of them that have been on that export list, at least 48 that we know of. Whether the listed as one is being sent as a box or a pallet, we don't know. But, of course, given that they're used in surface navigation, marine navigation, precision weapons, and for UAVs, the likelihood of them being sent since October until March of this year to Israel, it wouldn't be conjectured to say that there is a very, very high risk or likelihood that these are being used in weapons in Gaza. Another thing on dual-use good, I wouldn't say dual-use bad, they're called advanced power drives, or UAV components. And this is they're developed by a company called Advanced Power Drives, or APD. And so they are an Australian company that manufacture drone components. And in October of 2024, APD announced that they would no longer service recreational and non-commercial drone users, and that they were directing all of their manufacturing wholly to service the commercial, institutional and defence customers. And so APD distribute these. They've got, I'm just looking at my little list here. There are four specific components that Advanced Power Drives manufacture that are on their FOI export list. And they're small processors for drones. And so they've got, the drones won't fly without this small processing part. And so all of products have a National Defence Authorisation and Defence Federal Acquisition. I've just lost my words. Basically, all of their products that they manufacture are qualified to use in as defence components, which are the US Defence Regulatory Framework. Sorry, I found my words. The brain fog's still sticking around a little bit. So Basque Aerospace is a company here in Noble Park, here in Victoria in Noble Park. And they also are a distributor for Advanced Power Drive processors. So Advanced Power Drives is a New South Wales company. And between them, Basque Aerospace, which distributes these processors and parts for drones and UAVs, have received just under $500,000 in Department of Defence contracts. And APD has also gotten the Defence Global Competitiveness Grant and the Sovereign Industrial Capability Priority Grant, and also an Austrade Export Market Development Grant in order to be able to export these processes anywhere in the world, including to a genocidal state of Israel. Now, there are a few other things on that export list, and I think going through it with a fine-tooth comb is a big job, but also a necessary one. But another company that's on there is, product rather, is a GNS compass. And so it's a navigational and satellite positioning piece of equipment. But Advanced Navigation are a company that are in Sydney, located in Sydney. They've almost got about $2 million in Department of Defence grants. They also have a manufacturer. They've got an HQ and a manufacturing facility also that's in Botany. Advanced Navigation are kind of a big upcoming company in defence. And also, just in the last week, the latest Defence Export Catalogue has come out. I think it's the 9th volume, and Advanced Navigation are on there, as well as all of the other usual suspects. And just as a side note, also Advanced Navigation have received capital funding in the past from InQtel, which is the CIA's capital funding firm, as well as another company that is on here, which I had this just so many names. It's sometimes a bit hard to. Oh, Quintessence Labs, that's another one that it's on InQtel's funding and capital funding list that they fund to develop dual-use technologies, as InQtel say. And so the dual-use lens, we know that it still comes, you know, military and dual, the defence and strategic goods list has military goods, as they call them, and dual-use goods. And so dual use is the really big one here, because it means that the military, they can just say that the military is just one of the many possible uses that we use on for these products that are being manufactured. Albert Systems and the Albert Systems Center of Excellence, the Human and Machine Teaming Center of Excellence, which is at Unit 3, 290 Salmon Street in Port Melbourne, as we found out a couple of weeks ago. They have a dual use lens over all of their products. So even though it comes under the project comes under the defence sector, and indeed everything on the defence and strategic goods list comes under the legislative framework of defence. So it's therefore a defence and military product. They have a dual use lens over all of the research and the technology that is comes out and is manufactured out of that facility. And some more things on Albert. So I guess what, you know, a big part of the public sell or the public push in regards to the Human Machine Teaming Centre of Excellence there at Unit 3290 Salmon Street in Port Melbourne is that what they were trying to sell the technology, the main impetus, I guess, for the development of technology at that facility was to be used for emergency evacuation. And so whether it's a fire or a flood, in order to pinpoint and directly monitor evacuation routes, how many people, to ensure that the number of people that are evacuated match the number of people that are at an evacuation centre or not. And of course, we know exactly where that technology has been developed and manufactured, being used against Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank for the last 77 years. And that's what that technology is for, and that's what our government, the Victorian government and the Australian government, that's the technology that they are paying for, and that's how they're selling it to the public. So the Albert Systems of Australia, they have what is called a CAGE code, and that's a commercial and government entity code, which is run by the US Department of Defense, the Defense Logistics Agency. And so a CAGE code is this, I mean, it's a code for exports that if something is being exported from that company, it's assigned to a company, and then they can run it through the system and it just is assigned to that company rather than going through it all the time. So Albert down at Port Melbourne at Unit 3, and it's listed at that address, Unit 3, 290 Salmon Street. They have a CAGE code, and they also have a NATO CAGE code. And you can look it up on the register. And I'm just going to let you know what it is, even just for, no, I mean, just because, really. It's Z0RV3. Is their CAGE code. And you can also look up what, you know, we've been able to find a register of the parts and the components that are registered to for export to the US from that location. And so when you look at the list, there's about, and so this kind of just goes under like a parts number. It's like these are all used equipment that you bang it into a database. That's coming from here. We can put in the code. That's where it's coming from. That's what it is. That's what it's labeled as an export. And then we can send it away. And so there's about, in that database, I think there's about 150 run-of-the-mill dual-use parts. As so they would seem. And a lot of them are cables, cable assemblies, screws, specific washers, plugs. And so I think it would be remiss of us not to look through that list and start looking at the FOI list indeed. And when you go to the back to the FOI list that was released by Declassified Australia, there's about 40 inputs of cable and cable assemblies in there, and that's not to mention. So because this is self-reporting on the exports, it's super easy. We don't know if this is technology that's directly come from Albert. We don't know whether it's being used. Indeed, it, you know, probably is in the genocide against Palestinians in Gaza. And so just going back between these companies, we're just like trying to pick apart, I guess, the government knows that this is happening. So when Albanese comes out and says, we do not export arms to Israel, the dual-use lens is the veil in which they try and hide behind to say that they're not exporting arms. As was mentioned in Callie Tranter's article in relation to the export list, there's a slinger, a weapon called the slinger, which I can't remember who it's made by, but it's by EOS Systems, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it is, EOS, Electro-Optic Systems. And when you go back to the Australian Defence Export Catalogue that's just been released, down there on page 35 is the counter-drone defence system known as the Slinger. And if you order one of those through the Australian Defence Export Catalogue, you'll be able to get it in about 6 months, according to the catalogue. So you can find that, the Defence Export Catalogue, online at the Department of Defence website, and go through and have a look and see, because there's all of the usual suspects, L3Harris Technologies. Oh, and just on that, actually, on the parts register for what he sent from Salmon Street for export, is a lot of the cables and the cable assemblies, alongside Albert Systems as an exporter. For a large majority of them, L3Harris Technologies is also an alternate manufacturer of those very same things. And these are two major, major defence companies. And so there's really only one use for the cable assemblies that are made by L3Harris and Albert Systems. And, of course, it's military. Where am I up to? I know I'm kind of a little bit all over the place. I think I'm probably just getting over a little bit of brain fog myself. But I did actually look at an interesting thing today about dual-use technologies, about when it was first used. My comrade Abby and I did a show called Missiles for the Masses on counterinsurgency. And last week we did a program about the development of the internet. And one of the things that we found with the early development of the internet as a online database for streamlining information was called ARPANET and developed by ARPA, which is now known as DARPA in the US. And one of the really main things about the development of the ARPANET, which was a precursor to the internet for military use, was that it was very, very specific that they had to label it as dual use. Otherwise, the social scientists and the tech scientists and the computer scientists wouldn't want to. They foresaw that they wouldn't want to use to be working on a project that they knew was going to be used to bomb people. And so that just led me to have a look at, you know, the emergence of dual use for military technologies. And it kind of initially came out in around World War One, when agricultural chemicals, or that were first, developed with the intention to use in agriculture, were used as chemical weapons. And so that was kind of the first emergence of the use of the term dual use for military goods is the only word, because it's what's in my head because of the defence and the strategic good list, but they're really not good. They're fucking awful. And another one was the processors out of the PlayStation 2, which were a gaming system, because their high resolution image processing. They were really, really good for missile navigation systems, and so the PS2 was labelled as a dual use good because of the CPU processors inside of them. But that's enough on that, I guess. I think I'm just getting a little bit running around in my head here. What else has happened this week? Oh, back in April. The Department of Defence made some additions and updates to the Commonwealth procurement rules, so they decided to incorporate a definition of what constitutes an Australian business. And this is, you know, specifically for sovereign defence capabilities. And they kind of found that the Commonwealth procurement rules prior to that were kind of inadequate for the security needs of defence. And so, of course, they had, you know, the Sovereign Australian Prime Alliance, which is obviously sovereign, a conglomerate of sovereign defence primes, kind of giving them a bit of a nudge and saying, you know, how do we ensure that the Commonwealth and Department of Defence are indeed Australian businesses? And so this is an update to make sure of that. And just quickly, because I've just realised I've been rabbiting on here and I've only got a few minutes left. On that, 2 days after that was announced, Israeli company Epsilor, which is the company that is manufacturing the lithium-ion batteries for the Redback infantry fighting vehicle that are being manufactured down there in Avalon, Epsilor, 2 days after this, registered as an Australian company. And when you look at their company, the registered address of their company takes you to an address in South Australia, which is given by a company called ABN Australia, which basically you pay them $650 a year and then you just get a registered address. So this company have gone, oh shit, we can't export our, Australia won't buy for this Redback, this sovereign Redback project. They won't buy our batteries anymore unless we register. We better hurry up, register it as an Australian company, jump online, register an office address, bang, there we go, we can keep providing the batteries. So that's just happened. Also, really quickly, gosh, I really didn't think that I was going to be able to take up all of your time, but here we are. I even had a song as a backup. Last March, listeners might remember that in the Office of Defence Industry Support update, there was a little section about defence protest awareness following protests at defence industry sites. And it just said, oh, here we are. You can fill out this form if there's a protest. Call the cops, fill out this form, and we'll give you your support. Just this week, Pat Conroy has announced the first tranche of the Defence Industry Development Grants Program with 58 grants worth $16.5 million. And there's a lot, there's, you know, Black Sky Aerospace is there, Rosebank Engineering is there, Drone Shield is there. They've got a big list, and Heat Treatment is there. But there's a security stream of this on the media release, rather. And when you go through and look at the security stream, there's what, probably about 15 companies that have received a chop out for the government. And that chop out has been to uplift or increase or purchase the essential equipment to upgrade physical security at those locations. And so the upgrade and increase to all those physical and personal security, install advanced security equipment. And so this is in a direct response to protests and actions and targeting of weapons manufacturers. So keep it up, folks, because this is the government giving a chop out. Rosebank Engineering in Victoria is going to receive about $50,000 to install security systems across multiple locations. And of course, who else is there? HTA Victoria is going to receive $40,244 to upgrade the physical security of their manufacturing facility in line with defence security requirements, increasing capability as a provider to the defence industry. Some of you might remember in at the peak of the actions against HDA here in Victoria, what's his name, Neil? Karen Stanton's brother, I can't even remember his name, came out and said, oh, we don't manufacture defence. That's in our Queensland office. The protest has got it wrong. And back then we said they're either defrauding the government because they'd received $1 million to upgrade their defence manufacturing capabilities in Victoria. And this just gives us further proof that they do provide defence. We don't take your lies. We're going to keep going. And listeners, this coming Tuesday, we are indeed keeping going. Albert Systems at Unit 3, 290 Salmon Street. This Tuesday, there's a lunchtime speak out happening at the office location. So make sure to get down there. It'll be around midday, but you can jump on Free Palestine Coalition NAM's Instagram page to get all the details. But get down there, because this is part of a national and international campaign to say that Albert Systems is no longer tenable. This has been a Friday Rave. Catch you soon.